Ozil, Lacazette, Ozil! Arsenal are walking in a winter wonderland! What a turnaround! He's come up with it! The scorpion touch! Olivier Giroud! When you saw Mkhitaryan do it, you say we'd never see it again!
Hi everyone and welcome to the Can I Question Arsenal podcast. To be honest, I'm struggling to motivate myself for this one, honestly, because we're recording right on the back of the loss after against Leicester City 3-0. So, and usually this pod is recorded. It's a monthly podcast. So it gives us some time to actually have a more distant look to the month. But because we're recording, I think this is the first time we're recording right after a game, and it's a game that we lost as well. So forgive us if the pod is a little dampened or in comparison to the others, but it's okay. It's okay. Welcome to the pod. I hope you're not too dampened, I guess, as I am currently, because it was just a frustrating game. So I'm not here alone. I've got Mo Amali here. Mo, hi, how are you?
I am fine, Simon. Good afternoon.
Hi,
Tony. Hi, Simon. Hi, Mo.
Hi, how are you, Tommy?
Hi.
We expect, I think, Imadili and Mastermind have bailed out on us. So I guess we'll carry on much later. I hope you guys had a good week, though. I'm not sure any Arsenal fan has had a good week, because one of the most terrible weeks club since the start of the season. And you highlighted when I'm done reading out the scores for the month. So in the month of Arsenal played 8 games. That's a whole lot of games, right? And we won 4 games and we lost 4 games. Unfortunately, the losses that we suffered were losses in the league. I'm not sure where I can say unfortunately, actually, because if you're looking at it from a perspective of our overall objectives for the season, which is to qualify for the Champions League, we did well against Napoli. So if this pod is going to help you get recover better, I think it's the fact that we're still going to talk about a little about the Napoli game. So just from the start of the month, we played Newcastle at home. It was one of our controlled performances and we won 2-0. We then went away to Everton and lost 1-0. And then to a Jagielka goal, I think. And we hosted Napoli at home. We beat them 2-0, which put us in a very good stead for the Europa League and semi-finals. We then went away and played 10-man Watford, and we won 1-0. We then went away again, and we played Napoli, and we won 1-0 in Italy. At that point in our season, we had played, 6 games and had considered just 1 goal. And then all hell was let loose, apparently. We hosted Palace in the game at the Emirates, where it was supposed to be our fortress. And we lost 2-3. And we went away to Wolves, and it was a disastrous performance. We lost 3-1 there. And if we thought that was bad, we just played Leicester, and we lost 3-0. We have now conceded 9 goals in the last 3 matches, in comparison to just 1 in the 6 before them. So it's been sort of a mixed month for Arsenal, if you would allow me to say that, from the perspective of our league. Because I'm trying to look at it from the objective for the season, which is to qualify for the Champions League. And we have two instances to do that. From the perspective of the league, it's been terrible. We pretty much have lost hope there. But from the Europa League, we are set to play Valencia in the semi-finals of the Europa League, and we can still qualify for the Champions League through that competition if we get to win. So that's just a roundup of how we fared in the month, and we'll take a look at some of these games. But before we do that, I would just like to say congratulations to Mastermind. He's not here. Congratulations to Mo and congratulations to Toby, your league champions.
Yes, eventually we are.
After many years.
How long? I don't think the female team the female team have won a lot of leagues. I think they have the record number of league titles, actually, right? Yeah, they do. So, congratulations. I think we are under-18s also won the league, or under-23s.
Under-18 South London League, which is the league for all the under-18 teams from that area of the country. Yeah.
Oh, okay, so we won that. The team, Juve coaches as well. They're pretty doing well. I'm not sure they won that.
I don't remember seeing that, but they're doing quite well.
No, I don't. Okay, I think they're doing well as well, but I'm not sure they have won that. Okay, but congrats, we're league champions. We can start on a good note because it's going to get worse from here on, I guess. Okay, Mo. So Mo, I'm coming to you now. What's your just from a perspective of our objective of this for the season, because I don't want us to go dive straight into performances. From a perspective of our objective into the season, what's your opinion of us thus far?
Hello, whose question is that?
It's for you, Mo.
Oh, okay. Sorry, I cut off a bit. Okay, yeah, can you repeat it again, please? I was off slightly.
I was asking from the perspective of our objective for the season,
right,
which is to qualify for the Champions League. That's pretty much our objective. Where do you think, when you look at the games in what's your opinion?
Well,
what's your perspective?
Can you hear me? For the season where by April we were sitting pretty and it looked like we were going to even surpass expectations because the top two teams, Liverpool and City, are in a league of their own. And the other ones are just a chasing pack. Because I was so sure to end up third. And all of a sudden, we just turned the gun on our own heads and started shooting indiscriminately. Because I cannot understand the level, the way we just packed up from that Everton game. There was no heart in that Everton game, no desire. The players turned up just to fulfill righteousness. Mm-hmm. They left there. They went to, I think the next game was Napoli at home. They played superbly against Napoli and should have won by 4 or 5 goals. And then went away comfortably. Then they went to Watford with a man down. Mm. And we scored a jammy goal to start with at Watford. We scored a very jammy goal. And then got Dini, who was going to torment us all night, got sent off. And I was like, oh, here we go. We're going to have it easy tonight. And then, yes, I know that when you go a man down sometimes, it's a lot more difficult. But then the way we packed up again and let Watford just come and swarm us all over. Then we now go to Naples and beat Napoli there in a very comprehensive, it was a professional victory that day. So you just can't understand these Jekyll and Hyde performances from this team. And then we now come back against Palace. That is where I lost it with Unai Emery. And I am not, I've defended him all season, and I still believe he should hold on to the job. But after that Palace game, the arrogant manner in which he set us up against Palace, you know, it just shows he showed his naivety as well. He's already counting points in the bag when they are not there. And I think it has had the ripple effect. A trickle-down effect on all the other games that followed. It's not an excuse, but we in our permutations, when we had 5 games to go, in our permutations, we're like, okay, the Palace and Brighton game, those 6 points, they were on board because we have a fantastic home record. So you could excuse us for having those 6 points on board. We're now looking at all the other teams away, all the other away games, and where are we going to get at least 4 or 5 points from? And then he goes and throws the Palace game away. I don't understand. I was watching the first half of the Burnley game, and I saw them playing against City, and I saw heart and desire from these boys playing, you know, the Burnley players, that is, playing against superior technicians, and they were playing. These guys, and yes, I know some people make it say, oh, we talk about players' wages, but you cannot stop me from talking about a player's wage. You can't stop me from talking about Mkhitaryan earning £200,000 a week. No.
Wait, Mo, you're going on.
No,
we're trying to
get of the season, like you said. I thought we were sitting pretty, but we have turned it on our head and shot ourselves. Totally. You know, right now we're just undertakers. We're burying our own selves. That's the truth of the matter.
Yeah, I completely. I think that would have been the perfect place to just end the podcast. We're Undertaker. So okay, so we're still in the running to qualify for the Champions League. Just let me just remind everybody that's our objective for the season, and if we achieve that, we can say that we have done something good this season. So, to be more specific about the performances, though, I think we've done we covered Napoli already, especially with the conversations we had with Massimo pre and post the game, which was really good. And thank you to everybody who sent him. His Twitter feed was swarmed with a lot of Arsenal fans just saying, no, it was really nice because a lot of people just started tweeting at him and saying thanks for coming on the pod. They enjoyed his conversation. And the fact that he was magnanimous when they lost and he wished us well, I was really, really impressed with the amount of love that he got. So thank you to everybody who tweeted at him to say thank you for coming on the pod. So, but just to focus on some of the games, I would just like to start with the one against Palace. Yes. Toby, you watched that game. Can you just talk about what you think happened?
I think more said, I was given an indication of what I was going to say because it seemed as if the manager was careless. And then believe that, you could just walk into this game and grab all 3 points. But this is the Premier League. You don't turn up half-heartedly and expect teams to roll over and give you the points. You have to fight for each and every point. So I think that is where a serious mistake was made. He should have played his strongest 11 and with a mandate to, go out and get the points. Then if you are 2-3 goes up by 6 minutes, you can remove your crucial players and rest them. But you don't start the match on the wrong foot and then try and fix it. It becomes too late. And you could see he was playing people you could always call part-timers. Playing, why was Jenkins starting at home in the Premier League? You know, if you have been following the Premier League this season, you would know that Palace are a far better team away from home. They have had more points because the way they are set up to play, we need to sit back and counter us. And they did that time and time again. They could have scored far more than the 3 goals. Luckily for us, Leno was in good form. So it was clear. Yes.
Sorry to interject, Toby, just to make your point clearer about Jenkinson. He didn't only start Jenkinson. I don't even have a problem starting Jenkinson if you're starting him in the right back row.
Yes.
Starting Jenkinson as a wing back.
What was the point of that? Why are we playing three at the back?
I just wanted to make that point.
When the only way to beat Palace is to go out and get and attack them from the word go. You get it. Not a fantastic team now, but we just let them feel like prime Barcelona. And they tore us apart.
Yeah, and because Unai has the whole record of having to analyzing teams and then watching a lot of
why it was so disappointing.
Which was very disappointing. That's what made him.
Everybody knows they have only one way of playing.
And if you're looking at the stats of that Palace game, you would see that this is Arsenal playing at home. Palace had 16 shots. We had 12.
Yes.
They had 7 shots on target. We had 5. But guess what? They had only 27% possession. We had 73%. We passed the ball 249 times. We passed the ball 656 times. We absolutely... we even had a passing accuracy of 67% against our 88%. But we did not know what to do with the ball when we had
at all.
The problem with the Palace game, aside from the fact that I started Jenkinson, and because you know how Thierry Henry would say that why Arsene Wenger never won the League Cup or something, the Carling Cup. I think he was interviewed once, and he was like, because when the manager selects the team, the way the manager selects the team for the League Cup, how Wenger is select the team for the League Cup and selects young boys, and then the whole club. Just
knows
got the whole
feeling
that I don't take this one very seriously.
Exactly.
That's what happened against Palace, because he selected Jenkinson and he selected Mavropanos. He gave the whole persona to the vibe to the team that we're at home. We can run this through, and the team played in that manner. Yep. Which was really,
and,
really,
and
really
still playing in that manner. Still playing in that manner.
Yes.
Okay, we'll come to that. Damola has joined us. Hi, Damola.
He has left again.
He's left again. The game against Wolves. The game against Wolves. 2 minutes. 2 minutes. Mo, I think this is for you. Toby spoke about Palace, right?
Yeah.
So
yeah.
Mo, the game against Wolves. Yeah.
Yeah, I remember Ima and I talking about the Wolves game on this pod, and Ima and I agreed, and I felt that in the running, it was going to be our easiest game. Not because we're going to have it easy, but I felt that it was the game. I was more scared of Goodison Park, more scared of Liberty, King Power, more scared of... I thought that because Wolves have had a very good season, they will come out to play. And we're good. Then it'd be our worst game in the running. Yes, I know we lost today, but honestly, I think, yes, because today we have an alibi. Oh, we had the red card. It's easy to now go. Yeah. But that Wolves game, we started very well. You know, we started first 20 minutes, we're in control, you know, passed the ball well, although we're doing nothing with it, what Arsene Wenger will call sterile possession. But then the moment Wolves now turned up a level, we just crumbled. Just crumbled like that. The moment they scored that free kick, and then the vibes in the stadium went up, the noise was more. Our boys just laid down there for them to trample upon them. So what more? What can we say about the Wolves game? There's nothing to say about that, apart from the fact that we went there, just put on our jerseys, and what time is kickoff? The referee blew the whistle, and we just turned up, because if we don't turn up, we'll get fined by the FA, and that's all about it. We had nothing. Our reliable player, one of the most reliable players we've had all season, Leno, had the horror show that day, just to sum it all up. So nothing more to say about nothing.
Okay, Simon.
Yeah,
I've been following. I've been watching that stuff for like 20 years or thereabouts. And there's one common thing that when we go and play away against the smaller teams, we may not always win, although we win most of the time. But even in games where we don't win, we always dominate.
Yeah.
You get, we dominate to the extent that people accuse us of trying to walk the ball into the net, because we always have the lion's share of possession. We don't give them time to breathe. They have to rely on counter attacks and balls over the top. We dominate to an extent that you get annoyed, like, shoot or shoot. But
this season,
we can't even dominate against the middle, against the relegation threatening teams. The Huddersfield, the Brighton, the Cardiff. It's amazing how we cannot keep the ball. I don't think our problem this season has been defense. I think the defense has been as good as it has been. I don't think it's the problem. I think the problem is our midfield cannot hold the ball. I don't know why. I don't know what formula.
If you look at our possession stats against Wolves,
it's not about possession. It's not just possession. We can't hold the ball and do anything with the ball. Our team relies on the midfield. If you can't hold the ball and then do anything with the ball, what's the use? They would come out against us. That. Yes.
I was going to come to that, because if you look at the game, I completely agree with you about holding the ball, but I think the way I'll capture it would be carry the ball.
Yes.
Because if you watch the game against Wolves, we had a whole lot of possession. I'm looking at the stats now. Mm-hmm. We had 71% possession. However, we had that possession going around like in an arc.
Yes.
Pass round. Exactly. Pass round. It was completely predictable.
Mm-hmm.
It was completely like sterile. Mm-hmm. And then there was no incision that was coming from it. So you see, when you have like, is like, I know many people don't like him, but if you had a player like a Coutinho that could do something that is outside the norm of what everybody is doing, we don't have those kind of players.
Yeah.
So maybe you don't. I think for maybe many people think, I don't agree, but many people think that football has gone past dribblers, because if we had a dribbler in the team, like somebody that can take the ball, beat two people, and you then see, create an opportunity.
Yes, Santi Cazorla, for example, who can beat Santi two Cazorla, people. That kind of
thing. We can beat two people and they create an opportunity. We don't have that. That's why we might have a lot of the possession.
Not even.
But it's a lot of possession just after the halfway line, passing across ourselves.
The possession we're talking about, I wouldn't even dignify it with a name as sterile possession. It's just passing the ball to the other team. has the balls to come and attack us. That's all it is. Because the moment they charge at us, we give it away like hot potato. What we lack in this team, we lack direct runners. You see, I know this is going to be an unpopular opinion, but somebody like Chamberlain provided these direct runs that I'm talking about. Chamberlain was good on the ball. He could dribble and he ran directly at players. And players, there's nothing a defender hates as much as an attacker running directly at him. You know, this team has none of that. And that's why even Santi Cazorla that we're talking about, he used to frustrate a bit because Santi Cazorla was a dribbler in a circle. Santi Cazorla's dribbles were not... He didn't advance
them. But at least he would beat somebody.
He would dribble and release the ball, yes. Somebody like I know I'm biased in his favor, but somebody like Alex Clerc. Alex Clerc was a progressive dribbler. Alex Clerc will carry the ball. He's beating you, not on one spot. As he's dribbling past you, he's going past you. And that's what Chamberlain used to do for this team when he was on his A game. Chamberlain... transition was excellent with Chamberlain because he will leave 2-3 players in his week. This team, there is no single dribbler in this team today. How do you want to do? How do you want to play football with no dribblers in your team? So there is no way you can... What Clerc used to do for Fabregas in 2007-08 season? Clerc would draw about 3-4 markers to himself, beat them. By that time, Fabregas is in acres of space. And he's there alone. When he releases the ball to Fabregas, it's Adebayo and the goalkeeper. And then before you know it, it's the goal. So this team lacks. So we have to, our recruitment in the summer, it just has to be spot on. Because we need to identify what our weaknesses are and go after those weaknesses. It's not about just buying fancy names and all that. The names we need. That's why we're talking about
that. We're going to come to that.
Okay, so I'm tired of blaming the players. You see, there's only so much you can blame on individual mistakes and errors. A time will come where you have to look at the coach and, okay, what are you telling these players in training? What are you actually training them? Why do they keep on making the same mistakes? Why have we been playing? Why are our own games 10 times worse than our own games? What are you? How are you preparing these players? Because I don't see... We can't keep blaming the players. I agree. Okay, the players are not world-class. Yes, but they're enough to beat Leicester. The players are enough to beat Crystal Palace. Are we saying Crystal Palace are better players? So I think we have to have a point of saying, yes, the players are not good enough. Maybe the players are not good enough to get that top four. But we shouldn't be losing to Crystal Palace. We shouldn't be conceding TV goals to Crystal Palace at home.
Toby.
We shouldn't be facing 14 shots.
Toby, you have a point there.
There's no reason. Yes.
Toby, you have a point there. But if there is anybody I'm going to blame for that, honestly, if there's anybody I'm going to blame for that, yes, I will reserve special blame for the manager. But honestly, like you rightly said, what I was saying in essence is, Toby was trying to say that yes, we are the players might not be good enough and all that, but you cannot be losing.
Yes, you shouldn't be losing.
Even without a manager on the bench,
I agree. The players.
So
why do we have? Why do we employ a coach?
No. Let's get them online.
Yes.
The number one reason why you hire a coach is to give direction, right? If you have a coach, if your coach on the day is having a bad day, you cannot expect the players to just go on the pitch and figure it out. It doesn't work like that, no. Except you are playing a team that is a lot worse than you are. Maybe you are a Champions League team playing against a League Two team, and they don't have it, and you don't have a manager, and then it's okay. But no, at this level, no. Your manager dictates the direction of where you're going. See, I listen to most comments on the Palace game, and the moment I saw that lineup, Jenkins has a wing back. Okay, maybe, because you're at home and you think that you have so much power, you can bully Palace. The moment I saw that midfield, that's Elneny Guendouzi midfield.
Damola,
lineup.
Well, I knew when
Damola, the point I was trying to make, are you hearing me? The point I was trying to make, if you go and Yeah, go and look at the last goal Leicester City scored today. Look at how Pereira skipped past Koscielny like he was not there. That is not lack of ability.
Yes.
That is
Koscielny
could not be bothered.
It's a coach's job.
This is what I am saying.
To motivate the player.
Yeah.
Exactly.
Who permits that nonchalance?
That's what I'm saying. And this is what I said the other time when Arsene Wenger, people used to come in hard on Arsene Wenger. And I said, listen, my own problem with Arsene was nothing but Arsene let these players get away with murder. And that's why the reason I've not clamped down on Emery in that instance is I'm waiting for him to see what he does in the offseason. Because a lot of these players, if he comes back next season and then these same things are happening again, because I was watching the Burnley game and I saw them going into tackles, chasing every lost pass. Our boys come
City
on to and they just chill about. And then the next game, they play again.
Hey,
City
exactly,
just
exactly. So that's the Nigeria problem.
Of course.
Oh, great. Okay, guys. Okay, guys. Thank you. We need to talk about the Leicester game a bit.
The last thing we want is for Liverpool to win the league.
To win the league, right? Okay, so
nobody, like Sterling said, nobody wants to see that.
Exactly, but I think that the covering the Leicester game or speaking about it, you're just going around the same circles because our away performances this season have just been pretty much the same. We show up, be bad, and then just go back home. So, but just to focus on the game a little more. So, Mitanel's and the last got a red card, which I think was completely debatable. I don't think it's even debatable. I think that the referee was completely wrong. But that aside, you watch how Watford played against us when they were 10 men. That was 2 weeks ago, or maybe like a week and a half ago. How is it that our own team is unable to replicate that kind of Watford performance when they're a man down? How are we unable to do it? Another question I would like to ask.
Can I open the answer to that question?
It's for you, Damola. Another question I would like to ask is, when Arsenal concedes a goal,
okay,
when was the last time Arsenal considered a goal away from home, or even at home, that you had the feeling that we were going to come back and win this game? I think away from home is worse. I don't think we've done it this season.
No,
considered a goal. And we concede first. It's like the players have this mentality that we have lost. I don't know where that's not the Arsenal that I grew up knowing. We concede a goal, you keep going. But we
the team
goal
is in trouble
now,
if they concede a goal.
It's like the mentality of the team just goes, oh my God, we've conceded, we're losing this game.
Mm-hmm.
So that you can take that first and then carry on with the conversation around or the last time what you think about how we react to conceding. Just carry on, then Mo will respond.
Okay, I don't know why they seem to play like completely different teams based on whether they're playing at home or away. I don't know, because the Arsenal I knew, the Arsenal I grew up loving, even when we go away and we concede the first goal, like we usually used to do, it used to be a joke that, oh, we always concede from the first shot on target. Fine. But we would put on so much pressure on the opposition that they will eventually crack and break. We may not always win. Sometimes we just draw. But we would never stop going. And would keep on playing. You would always have the hope. Even if you go 2 goals down. No, when you used to play Bolton and Blackburn, they would almost always score first. But I don't know what about this team is that allows them to just crumble. We saw Watford. We are lucky against Watford because Watford deserved at least a draw in that match. Because despite the fact that they were a goal down, they were a man down, they came out fighting till the very, very end.
Yeah.
I don't know, maybe the coach does not know how to motivate his players. I listened to... I listened to what he said after we lost to Wolves. And he said that he was hoping that we'd get a draw against Wolves. Does he realize that he's the coach of the Arsenal? That Wolves... Forget the past last season.
Well,
two seasons ago,
let me.
A team that just comes to the Premier League, we would go there and wipe them. comfortably. We don't joke with small teams because we are Arsenal. Yes, the big teams may beat us.
No.
But we don't joke with the small teams. We don't go to Wolves and expect a draw. I'm not sure anybody gets it. Maybe he doesn't get it.
Well, Toby, if you can...
Yeah? To Toby,
I believe there is a lot of hangover from Wenger's team into this team. And I don't mean this in a bad way, mm-hmm. because every manager has to stamp his authority on this team. Mm-hmm. And I don't believe, Emery has done enough stamping his authority on this team. No, he has not done enough. But all talking about conceding a goal and folding up, this has been an Arsenal thing. It has been an Arsenal thing for as far as I can remember in recent times. We go away from home and how many times have we been frustrated? We lose.
Those are against the big teams. I agree. We used to have our big teams.
Because we conceded the first goal.
Fine. Yes. And but I'm talking about Wolves.
No.
I'm talking about promoted teams. We never used to go against them.
Okay.
Yes.
Oh yeah. That's what I'm saying. If you look at our record this season before Everton, before that Everton game, because we have lost three games consecutively now. Everton, Wolves, and Everton, Wolves, Palace, and now Leicester. Four. Everton loss, we were not this diabolical against the so-called.
We lost to Southampton.
Forget about the losses. We lost to Southampton. Wait, no. What I'm trying to say is, can you compare the loss at St. Mary's or the draw at Brighton to those performances? I am even ashamed of calling them performances that we saw at Goodison Park, at Molineux, today at Leicester, at those performances. I'm not talking about the results strictly now. I'm talking about the performance.
We scored against other teams.
For West Ham, we didn't even have a shot.
No. This is what I'm trying to say. I'm making a point. Yeah. And that's why I say it's an indictment on the coach. He has not stamped his authority on this team enough. But it is an Emery thing.
Let me tell you
it's
something.
The team, it's something that has been in the team, but he has...
I don't remember...
He has come in now, and like you said, to justify a new manager coming, he has to change what the old manager was doing. Has he done that in that regard? No.
When Sevilla didn't win...
But it's not an Emery thing at all. It's not an Emery thing.
I know
Sevilla. But we make reference to that Sevilla team.
Guess who was the coach?
We make reference to the Sevilla team. Why are we making? No. It's not an Emery thing. As far as Arsenal is concerned, it's not an Emery thing.
Emery has been diabolical away from home for the past 1 year. He planned for a draw against Wolves. Does that not mean it's an Emery thing?
You see, Toby, no, you are putting me in a spot as if I'm defending Emery, and I'm not. All I'm trying to say to you is, it's not an Emery team. We have been diabolical for the past 18 months away from home. He has come in.
Okay.
Has he sorted it out? No, he hasn't. And he has failed in that regard so far. But it's
the
not
way
an
I,
Emery
the way
team.
I say it is, we were bad away from home last season. We got a coach to rectify the problems that we had last season. And this season, I don't think we have enough reference to say that he doesn't know how to coach teams away. However, because it's something that has recurred over and over and over again and he has done nothing to fix, it's completely now his responsibility.
So if we had
a case where we were winning one out of three games away from home, and like, oh, okay, yeah, he's trying to fix the problem. But because it has happened repeatedly over and over again, he takes responsibility for the performances.
I agree with you that maybe we don't have enough terms of reference to say
that he's a bad coach away from home. Next season, what's happening now, if it happens again next season, the atmosphere will completely be different. Yeah.
Yes, we can draw a conclusion.
I agree.
Emery can set up a team to win. I've seen him do it many, many times. So why does it that when you now go away, he sets up a team strictly to contain? I don't get that. We know this man. We know he can set up a team to win.
Does he even set the team up to contain? What are they
containing?
Okay, let's go.
Oh, no, no, I want to talk about a few things before we call it a day. We call it a day here. So, I was looking at the team and the squad entirely, right? Because we've gotten to the point in the season where your first team can get you thus far. But is your squad? Mm-hmm. Your squad really is what you should be relying on to take you across whatever the objective you want to meet in the season. And we're looking at the Arsenal squad now, and the question I'm asking is, how good does a squad has to be to achieve an objective that the club sets for it in the season? So you're looking at a club like Man City and Liverpool. The quality of the squad, right? How good does it have to be to help you win the league? The next level is, how good is the quality of your squad to help you to qualify into the top four? So why I'm asking this question is, I'm looking at players like Elneny. I'm looking at players like Guendouzi, Ada Jenkinson, to an extent, Alex Iwobi. I think he's the first player.
Squad,
It's here and there. Maybe it's a squad player, maybe it's the best player. Squad player. I'm looking at players like Mavropanos. I'm looking at players like Nketiah. Who else is a squad player in Arsenal? Maybe Denis Suarez. Who else? Mustafi is a first-team player. I can't say he's a squad player. So, Maitland-Niles. Are these players, are they good enough for a squad that wants to be in the top four of the league?
I don't know. I don't think so. I used to think that maybe the players were good enough. But I don't think we have good enough players to be considered like a top four team. Maybe not content for the title, but a team that can go third or fourth. I don't think these players are good enough. I think the recruitment for this summer has to be very smartly done. Some players need to be moved on because we've given them enough chance to see if they are good enough. And then some key players, players in some positions where we don't even have anybody. Like, for example, on the wings, we do not have one true winger. And those are, yes, and we have teams like Man City, they have four wingers or four forwards. You get? And these are goal scoring forwards. We don't have one. You get my point? Man, look at Liverpool. They can rotate anybody under that they are middle.
Yeah.
They can play various combinations because they have enough people that they can move about. We don't. I think that's it. That's something that is lacking. So I don't think the players we have are good enough to even make top four. If we make a top six, yeah, fine. But not top four. As it stands now, no.
So our squad players, are they significantly worse than Chelsea squad players?
Yes, without a doubt.
Or Man United
worse? Without a doubt. That was that. We are just playing. We are lucky that we
ours are worse.
We are very top heavy. We have two excellent strikers. And so sometimes we get away with it. As much as that they rescue points for us or we just kind of lock it. So that's why we are staying in the running. And then those teams, they themselves have been underperforming. Man, you have been underperforming. Chelsea especially. So that's why we are still in the running. Because we've lost three consecutive games. How are we still winning shots? Why do you have a chance to be top four? We shouldn't.
Yeah, okay. What's your take on it?
Well, my take, players good enough or not... I think Arsenal fans are guilty of overrating our players. I genuinely think we are very guilty of overrating our players. And, you know, year after year, some of us question these players and say, you're not good enough. And you hear them, you see them coming after you on Twitter everywhere saying, how dare you say Xhaka is not world class? Xhaka is... Okay, then, we have the same players the next year with a few additions, and we still don't win anything. And you're telling me that these players are good enough. What's the problem? You see, you look at that team. You look at that team. Yes, maybe yes. We have a good enough first 11 with the right mentality. Mm-hmm. Maybe just one, two additions to that first 11. But what of the bench? I saw mm-hmm. Elneny come on the other day, and it was painful watching him. It was painful watching Elneny, and the boy tries mm-hmm. himself. He tries his best. He's an honest boy, but he's mm-hmm. just not good enough for what we want to achieve. If we want mm-hmm. to be where we are today, yep. on the fringes of top 4, 5, 6, no problem. Let's continue. But Arsenal fans want to challenge for the title. We're not talking mm-hmm. of winning it yet. We want mm-hmm. to challenge for the title. You cannot have an Alex Iwobi as your out and out first team player. Alex Iwobi mm-hmm. is too unserious a footballer for me to take seriously to be a first team mm-hmm. player. And then Leroy yes. Sané has been sat on the City bench for mm-hmm. a while now. You know, I know, yes, people keep on talking about it and they mm-hmm. say, we don't have their finances. Fair enough. That's I agree, we don't have their finances, but we can cut our coat according to our size. We can go and look for players that we can afford. The first thing you hear again is about, Arsenal fans were also deluded because we still carry this brand, Arsenal brand, and we refuse to be contextual in our analysis. I was talking how we didn't go for Shaqiri. Honestly, till today, I can't understand. And Shaqiri is not the top player. He's not
I think Shaqiri is better than any winger that we have at that club.
And you're telling me Shaqiri...
Are you kidding me?
And you're telling me Shaqiri is not Arsenal quality? It doesn't make sense. Bro, the way Arsenal fans reason sometimes. You're telling me Shaqiri is not top quality. Iwobi is a first team regular. Mkhitaryan is a regular. In the team, you're telling me Shaqiri is not top quality. It doesn't make any sense. Why today...
Okay, to play devil's advocate, it could actually be that both Iwobi and Taryan are not quality. No. And Shaqiri is in as well.
I think maybe that's the angle that's coming from.
So, you can't do wings.
No.
He's better on the wing.
But he doesn't start.
I agree with you.
Shaqiri is a top player. He's a top player. He is just because we have this problem is because of where yes. he's coming from. If we were getting Shaqiri straight from Bayern Munich,
exactly.
players, fans would have been, oh yeah, Shaqiri. It's because he went to Stoke. And that's the same thing. They're talking about Ryan Fraser. Mm. I was talking about Ryan Fraser, mm-hmm. you know. We're talking earlier on the pod about how direct, mm-hmm. you know, we need direct players, and Chamberlain used to give us that. Ryan Fraser runs directly at his defenders, You know, he's good with both feet. You know, he has 13 assists this season and about 7 goals. And I hear people telling me that he's not Arsenal quality. I don't understand. I really need a definition of this Arsenal quality.
So the way I see it is, you're coming from a club that is perceived to be smaller than us. Oh, that is smaller than Arsenal. That's it.
Mm-hmm.
I'm just trying to explain what people think is Arsenal quality.
Mm-hmm.
You're coming from a club that is smaller than Arsenal. Yeah, that's a dent. Yeah. Then popular. You as a player, you're not as
Liverpool,
popular exactly.
Liverpool
you're not as popular as
like
as people that
from,
Arsenal
from Southampton.
Exactly. And you can say Mane as well.
Mane is the right example. Mane is the mm-hmm. right example. Not even Van Dijk. Because Van Dijk, mm-hmm. they were touting him about Chelsea, about Man City. Forget mm-hmm. about Van Dijk. Mane did not have the figures Ryan Fraser has today. And I'm very sure if Mane were touted as an Arsenal
not good enough
target, Arsenal fans would have said, oh, he's not Arsenal quality, blah, blah, blah. I remember when there were rumors about an Alexis Sanchez and Raheem Sterling swap. I admit that Alexis Sanchez was on top of his game and underperforming somewhat Raheem Sterling, you know, was going to, because fans mm-hmm. wrote Raheem off. Raheem Sterling off like he was some non-entity. When you know that this boy has it in him and he's delivering today, you know, so this Arsenal quality. So back again to recruitment.
Yes.
Toby made mention of the fact that we have to be shrewd and sensible in the market.
Spend everything.
And that's all we need to do. Forget about, they say we have 75 mm-hmm. million. They say we have 75 million pounds to spend. We can shop on the lower aisles of Tesco and get quality for that. We can do it, honestly. And that is why I am honestly resigned to fate, you know, that we are financially stricken as a club. So when I am talking about players, I'm not talking about, that's why when the Ryan Fraser rumors came up, I was like, mm-hmm. wow. One year to go on his deal. He's not signing a new deal. These are the sort of deals we should go for. He's not going to be too expensive. So snap him up. you know, and go ahead and look at Robertson that they got from Hull at Liverpool. It pains me that I'm making examples of Liverpool, but they have spent a lot of money on draws, but they have got it right somewhat lately. They got Robertson from Hull, you know. Imagine if he went for Robertson, then would have still been saying, no, Gibbs is a better player or he's not corrupt. Look at Robertson. Honestly, look at Robertson. There are players in the league today, especially in the relegated teams or in the lower divisions or even going to Scottish League. Kieran Tierney, the left back, you know, all those guys you talk. Yeah, so you can go and look at those players. They fall within our budget. Yes, we are not going to be looking at the likes of David Alaba or Adrien Rabiot. You see, that's why when they talk about Adrien Rabiot, I don't even bother because I know he's going to come on big wages.
And we can't move out.
We don't need any of that. We already have some players on wage that we believe are not. We can't move out because people think I have a problem, you know, with players' wages and all that. But I keep on talking contextually. I said, for a club as financially stricken as Aston, is Mkhitaryan giving us £200,000 a week worth of effort?
Nope.
Is Ozil giving us £350,000 a week worth of effort? This is the problem. It's not. Man City can afford to keep Ozil because he will come in, his quality, he's going to split the defense. But with us, we cannot afford that luxury of keeping the player on the bench. Number one, Emery doesn't even really fancy Ozil for starters. So why do you now pay him £350,000 when he's not going to play every single game for you? So Arsenal needs to be sensible in the summer. And for the verdict on the current players, I think 50%. We need at least, for the first 11, at least 3 players. And then for the generality of the team, another 3 players. Honestly, and we need to move a lot of players. There are some players there we should move on without replacing.
So I just want to ask a question, because when we talk about squad players, we start to talk about people like Elneny and Guendouzi. But when you look at Socrates, if we wanted to be challenging for the league title, should Socrates be a starting defender or a mid-squad player?
Treat Bazzagli now. No. And when you maybe somebody is suspended for a few matches or you're playing a younger team.
Toby's gone off.
Okay. Yeah, well, Toby was talking about Socrates. Can you hear me?
Yeah, I can hear you, yeah.
Yeah, he was talking about Socrates and I know I did not hear him till the end, but what he is describing for Socrates is exactly what I think Koscielny should be next season. Socrates is good enough to be a regular. He is good enough to be a regular in a title challenging team. But he needs our top centre back, if you know what I mean. We need to get someone.
Yeah, I can hear you.
We need to get me. Yes, we need to get someone that is far better than Socrates, that is the linchpin of like a Sol Campbell. When we got a Sol Campbell. Yes. So Socrates beside such a player. The problem is when Socrates becomes that Sol Campbell, when he becomes your Van Dijk, when he becomes your Baresi, then I think we'll fall just short. But as the partner for the main guy, he's more than capable. And then you have somebody like Koscielny, who we can't rely on the regular because of health reasons. Have him on the bench, you know, to come in, just like what Vincent Kompany does for City these days. That's what Vincent does. Awesome. You know, you see Vincent Kompany away. Yes, that's what he does. You know, and that's why I will keep Koscielny. Keep Koscielny for that role, you know. But then Socrates with a top CB behind him. He's a title challenging.
So we can start rounding up the pod, the way you have described it, you're keeping Koscielny, you're keeping Socrates. Holding is coming back next season. You want Mustafi might be at the club, or you want to sign another defender that's going to be a starter. So you're going to have people like Holding, Chambers, Koscielny as squad players in our defense next season if we get a CP. Squad players that you see in our team next season as well is Aries Nelson. Because certainly he's coming back he's coming back to play for us. I don't think he's going away on loan next season. So you have Aries Nelson in the team. Nketiah most likely will be there or maybe might go on loan. And then you have a player like Yeah, he should. I think he should go on loan. As well. I think he should go on loan. Then you have if we can get Ryan Fraser and then he comes into the team. So you get into the, we get Ryan Fraser, he comes straight into the team and plays, or he comes into the team and becomes a squad player. What's your take on that? I really like him actually, though. I never really used to look at him from the perspective of how good you say he was until when I started seeing you tweet about him a lot. Yeah. Then I went and watched a couple of clips. What I like about Ryan Fraser actually is I get bored. Okay, like the Crystal Palace game, I was watching it and it looks like all our game was to get the ball to Kolasinac, and Kolasinac is very left footed. He does absolutely nothing with his right leg. But Ryan Fraser is a player that
with the right
on the left side. But when the ball is when he turns, he opens up his body and puts in beautiful balls with his right leg. I really
with the right foot.
I really like that. Really like that part of his game. And I think we need that kind of player in the team. So no,
guys.
No. Kamala is back.
I you guys for what 30 minutes and you want to buy crazy? really, guys, really? We've had. I've been saying this Wenger thing. This Wenger thing, I've been tweeting about this like at least 2015. That this team will continue being decided until we get one Maki Wenger, right? So you guys have one shot at this and you want to buy Fraser? Why?
Fraser kept the league in assists this
year. Isn't it? I'm looking at what Fraser do last season.
14 assists already.
Why wasn't Fraser on anybody's radar last season? So he has one breakthrough season. And all of you want to go and buy him. Do you know how much it's going to cost? Do you know how much you're going to buy Ryan Fraser? The problem with this team is that we don't have a match winner. Arsenal doesn't have a match winner. We don't have one player that can individually say, okay, you know what, guys? We're not losing this game. Like, today, we're not losing. We don't have an Hazard. We don't have... Hazard. We used to have an Alexis. We don't have one anymore. Mm-hmm. Somebody that could have a bad game and just say, you know what? By myself, I'm going to ensure that I keep dragging this team. I feel like if we are going to have a winger, we should have a winger like someone like that. We should have a winger that is a dribble first kind of player.
Mm.
That kind of player just opens spaces for the likes of Ozil and your strikers. Yes. Because on the ball, he drags, beats one man, beats the second man, people are scrambling to cover. He just opens opportunities for... I'm sorry.
Damola, you have fallen into the trap. A lot of Arsenal fans.
Which
you
is fallen...
Yes. Damola has fallen into the trap of a lot of Arsenal fans because of the hype and the lack of hype around Ryan Fraser.
No.
Robert
and I haven't followed each other for long on Twitter, but no, I'm not a hype kind of player. No. If he gets the job done, I don't care if it costs 10 naira. I don't ask him Fraser, and I think that he will not be enough. If we had an elite winger,
why do you think so then? Why do you think so? What is your problem
again with him? I have an elite winger.
If Ryan Fraser's name were Ryan El Miguel, if that were his name, we would not be.
Honestly.
Did you watch Fraser last season?
Yes. No, I will be lying to you if I say I paid attention.
See, I like him. No, I do like him. I like him. Yeah. I'm just saying that if we had one more elite winger and you're bringing him in to be the second one, no problem. I'm fine. But if you're saying that the answer to our wide creativity...
It's not the answer, Damola. We spoke about context before you came on board, before Glow needs you
for the show.
Yeah. We spoke about context. You see, why I'm talking about Ryan Fraser. Honestly, if I were a Man City fan today, you think I'll be talking about Ryan Fraser? I wouldn't. Don't get me wrong. I'll be talking about. I'll try to be
Pepe. The cream de la cream.
Yes, the cream de la cream. But I am talking as an Arsenal fan who has resigned himself to fate. Because whether you like it or not, don't be telling me, oh, we're a big club. Yes, we're a big club, but we know our owner. We know who Stan is. We know how we do our things here. So I'm now shopping on the aisle. Mm-hmm. I believe we can shop and get quality. Ryan Fraser falls.
You know what? Let me take you guys back to this question I was having with a couple of my friends a couple of days ago. I said all these so-called scouts, all these scouts and all these so-called big clubs, why do they keep recommending? I mean, That's why I have a lot of respect for whatever it's called, Zen.
Minister.
Yes. Nobody like what's his name? Torreira wasn't on so many people's radar. Most people do not know who Torreira was. Same as Guendouzi. Okay. I'm saying that it seems like 90% of these clubs, their scouting is
involved player.
Players that we know. So when you tell me that your scout said you should come and sign
Damola, sorry to cut you short. Sampdoria is a bigger club than Bournemouth. But if we're going to look at league standing and all that, maybe we're at the same level today. Now, if Ryan Fraser were playing at Sampdoria, you know, of Argentine heritage, playing in Sampdoria with the same figures he has this season, even if he did not have any a massive season last, just like Torreira, like you rightly say, was not on anyone's radar.
The difference is that right now, Ryan Fraser as against that winger from Sampdoria, Ryan Fraser will cost double the price. I'm telling you, it's the truth. He will cost double the price because
he has one year to go.
See, I'm saying that. Okay, if you think, let's agree to disagree. If you think that Ryan Fraser is good enough, I mean, because if you buy him now, you're stuck with him for a number of years. I don't want a player that we buy now and we're thinking of how we're going to upgrade him in. See, the thing is that people say that City waste a lot of money buying this player, buying that player. City seems to be buying some strategic players that they don't need to change in the next, like, 5-6 years.
Yes.
Bernardo Silva. Emery Laporte. Sané. 21, 22.
Walker.
High caliber. They are not changing them. I feel like we shouldn't be going out to buy somebody that will say, okay, yeah, we can upgrade him in 2 years. No. Buy somebody that, I mean, his natural ceiling is high. He's already good enough, but his natural ceiling is high. He'll keep growing. As the team gets better, he gets better. Again, maybe that guy is Fraser Foster. I don't know. I mean, Fraser, whatever his other name.
Okay. So, pretty much, I think it's from the perspective that we are looking at it. Mo is looking at it from the perspective as an Arsenal fan and looking at our finances today. Damola wants to look at it from a perspective of an Arsenal fan. Arsenal undertaking somewhat of a project and getting players that will develop with us. But
yes, that's what I'm saying.
World class today already.
People like I didn't agree with when we signed Aubameyang. I'm like, Aubameyang is 29. He's gonna be 13. How many weeks? You're gonna have to replace him again. No, can you do what City did with Aguero? City have had Aguero since 2011. 8 years old, he's still top scorer in the league. That's what we're looking at. So before you know it, if you buy a 22-year-old here, 20-year-old here, at some point you're going to have a bunch of very good to excellent to world-class 27-year-olds. And I mean, if somebody comes to buy them, you sell them for double, triple what you bought them for, and it's fine. You do what Liverpool did. But guys,
I guess unfortunately, we've let Sven Mislintat that goal. And if we're going by the quality of signing that Suarez has turned out to be, Unai Emery and Raul Sanelli have to actually work really hard to convince us that they know how to spot the talent that is required to take us to that level. So just to wrap up on the pod, we go to Valencia next. I think there's not much we can talk about it. We're supposed to get Serre Brun on the pod. But last week his Twitter account got suspended, so I guess everybody should just go and tweet free cerebral or something. His Twitter account got suspended, and I don't know why. So I've been unable to reach him as well. So he's a Valencia fan that would have done an excellent job talking about the game.
When we got through our conversation, do you see how many Arsenal fans he mentioned saying you will lose, you go back, you go beat you?
I'm sure they reported him. I'm sure they are.
I hope he gets his Twitter back. His Twitter account back, though. He's really, really opinionated, and I really like reading his tweets. So, for Valencia, we're playing away first, right?
No, we're playing home first. Home first.
We're playing home first. Okay, I guess Unai Emery loses onions in the Europa League. I still don't understand when people say that he's a Europa League specialist. I think if somebody says you're a Europa League specialist, is a somewhat failure. That's the way I say it. Because Europa League... Wait, let me explain. Let me explain what I think. Because the Europa League is a competition that if you're a little above decent. You have to play the two good teams to win it, really. When you play Chelsea, you win the thing. Last season, we would have played, if we beat Atletico Madrid, we would have won the thing. So now Chelsea's playing who? Frankfurt. So anybody that comes out of there,
you have to look at
we should beat and win. So in the European League, the competition, and you play two good teams, you pretty much win it.
It's playing.
Because
it's not as if he has PSG or a Juve team. He has usually has a Sevilla team. Again, which is not.
That's why I said this. Is if you're a little above decent, you should win the Europa League. Because if you turn up on a particular day, you beat Atletico Madrid last year, you win the thing.
I feel like
and we were last season.
Simon is just sugarcoating what it is. The thing is that Emery is a good manager. He's not even an average manager.
Yeah.
He's a good manager. He's just not that next level. He's not that.
Yeah.
I feel like I tweeted the error that the reason why we're seeing top four, we're seeing this race for top four, is because.
Mm-hmm.
They are not enough top managers in Premier League. People like to argue all the time, but they are not enough, if I'm being honest. Sarri is a fraud. Sarri is a fraud. Solskjaer is a fraud. I don't know. So, I mean, it's not really hard to break into that. I say, if you carry all these managers to all these smaller clubs, if you carry Emery now to a Hoffenheim, there'll be a problem. With all those new breed of
But if you look at it this season, how many games have Spurs in the last 11 games? I think Spurs have won
like
three.
They've lost
a lot of games. Spurs have lost. No, that's the point. No, I'm just trying to speak about the point you say about the league. Spurs have lost 12 games and they are 12.
There's nobody else.
It's easier. Look at the gap between. I'm looking at the league table now. I don't understand.
Liverpool 91, Spurs 70. Why Spurs are third after losing 12 games is because
apart from those 12 games,
they've won every single of their other games apart from the North London derby.
Yes. 12 games is how many points? 36, right? 12 times 3 is 36 points.
A good manager to beat an average manager, and it is for a good manager to beat. Like the gap between
excellent manager,
it's always
and
a lot harder to make
that final job. Very large.
Like it'll just be we'll be fine. I mean, it's looking like. But honestly, I feel like we still have a chance if Chelsea can get something today.
Simon, I thought you were going to Valencia. Forget about this.
They lost to Eibar, and I'm thinking, is it that they are getting so good? I was thinking that maybe they rested, they put all their eggs in our basket.
They are widely inconsistent, so you can't even know who they're going to.
Yeah, and they don't even score a lot of goals. That's why I'm saying that somebody goes and wins that competition and thinks they are good. It's there are a lot of crappy teams in the competition. Valencia is crappy. Chelsea is a crappy team. We are just a little above crappy. Just a crappy competition. Let's just go. Let's just go. To be honest, I hope we win Valencia and then win the Europa League as well, because that's the only way this season will make sense. Generally, thank you to everybody who's listening to us. Appreciate Toby. Appreciate Moamali and Ademola for joining us. As well. Make it, Bob. Hopefully, he makes the next one. This is going to be our last pod for the season as well, because the next one after the whole season is going to be a live recording. We're going to try that out, and maybe Mo will fly into Lagos to join us, hoping if I can afford it. So to get into that, because everybody obviously we can't cater to it. But to get into the room, just follow us on Twitter, and then we will tweet out a link sometime during the week on how you can win a ticket to join us in that live recording. So, guys, that's how it's going to wrap up for the season. Hopefully, by the time we discuss in the live recording, we will celebrate the Europa League victory. Cheers, guys. Thank you very much. And a top four finish, maybe. How are we going to do that? I have no idea.
All right,
thanks, guys. Cheers.
Thanks, Simon.
Cheers, Simon. Take care.
Bye.
Bye.